This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday night, a hump day, and we are going to, well, I'm going to offend everybody about Nancy Mace right now, so that'll be fun, that'll be a really good time, and then probably do some emails. We're going to talk about these anti-personnel mines, Russia-Ukraine stuff, talk about why it's so important for us to whip these politicians instead of worship these politicians. All that and so much more coming up this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, Congressman Nancy Mace, she has been all over the news for about the last 48 hours. She's been all over the news because she's been the one loudly screaming about this new tranny that got elected to Congress, and she wants this dude in a separate bathroom. She's completely correct about that. She is 100% right about that. And she has run to every news show. She's been all over social media. Keep the guy out. Keep the guy out. Keep
that being a feminist makes me an extremist. I'm totally here for it.
Is this effort in response to Congresswoman McBride coming to Congress?
Yes, and absolutely, and then some.
Notice how she calls herself a feminist there. Oh, we'll get to that in just a moment. I'm going to caution you with something. There's something that we are all susceptible to because it's a human nature thing. I'll put it to you this way. Here's a little analogy. Here's a little analogy. What if you work with somebody and this human being, there's only one bathroom. This human being is a pretty good employee. He's your fellow worker, pretty good employee, but he always makes a mess of the bathroom. And it's just gross. It's just, he doesn't flush the toilet. You've seen he doesn't wash his hands. He's just one of these barbarians. It's just freaking gross. And you're like me, you're grossed out by that. And so it's just a turnoff. And even though the guy's polite and gets the work done on time, just there's this gross, gross, gross thing. The guy's a pretty good employee, but there's that. And then you find out they're thinking about replacing him with Corey. We'll call the guy's name Corey. And Corey is, as an employee, just as mediocre as it gets. Just really mediocre. However, Corey leaves a spotless bathroom. Washes his hands every time. Never makes a mess of anything. You can get so beaten down by the dirty bathroom that average employee Corey looks really, really good as long as he gives you what you haven't had, and that's a clean bathroom. Makes sense? Makes sense? That stupid little analogy I just did? Forever, there's been a thing on the right, and it's mainly been immigration. And this thing on the right is this. You can take somebody, go down the list of different issues, taxes, spending, abortion, border, foreign policy, all the issues, everything that comes up. And you can take somebody on the right and they can, as a governor, a congressman, a senator, whatever, they can be horrible on 9 of the 10 issues. But if they took a strong sounding stance on illegal immigration, they would immediately be lifted up to being this vanguard lion. Yes, finally, someone with some guts. I watched this happen repeatedly over the course of my political life. Why is that the case? Because traditionally, Republicans have been so pathetic and weak and in some ways complicit with illegal immigration that the second any Republican, even if the rest of his voting record sucks, the second any Republican comes out and says, deport them all, well, the rest of his record doesn't matter to us anymore. We're so desperate for a clean bathroom, he immediately becomes the belle of the ball. Woo, I love you. Woohoo, yes, look at this guy. Be my president. And that same thing is slowly but surely happening with the tranny stuff. Because the GOP is so weak and pathetic, so effeminate, so unwilling to speak obvious truths about things. You have guys like Representative Tom Cole in Oklahoma. Well, I don't want to get into the bathroom thing. You have Mike Johnson yesterday before he finally came around.
Mr. Speaker, is freshman-elect Sarah McBride a man or a woman?
Look, I'm not going to get into this. We welcome all new members.
Well, I'm really not really comfortable. I mean, everybody's welcome. We get so sick of that crap that somebody finally steps up and speaks like this, and we think, yeah!
But that being a feminist makes me an extremist. I'm totally here for it.
Is this effort in response to Congresswoman McBride's coming to Congress?
Yes, and absolutely, and then some.
That's clear-eyed. That's direct. That's gutsy. And we hear that, and we think, oh my gosh, is it too late to make her vice president? I love Nancy Mace! We have got to be very, very careful with our newest battered wife syndrome thing. That's the tranny stuff. Because these people will use us. I watched it happen with immigration forever. They know they can screw up this and screw up that and mess up this issue and betray us on this and then make one bold statement or propose one bold bill and we'll forgive them immediately for everything. One, be careful about that. Two, I just want to address this quickly, as long as I'm offending everyone at the very beginning.
So that being a feminist makes me an extremist. I'm totally.
Nancy Mace loves to talk about being a feminist. She said that many times. In fact, I think it was yesterday, I'm pretty sure. Nancy Mace went on social media and bragged that she shattered the glass ceiling. I'm almost positive she mentioned the glass ceiling and then mentioned how she shattered the glass ceiling and I was the first woman to graduate from the Citadel. The Citadel is a revered, formerly all-male military college is really what it is. Revered. Nancy Mace, the feminist.
So that being a feminist makes me...
shattered that glass ceiling. And she's the first woman graduate from the Citadel. You know, the revolution doesn't stop when you get what you want, Nancy. Here's a hard truth for everybody. People in Congress and really everywhere, women should never, ever, 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 ever have dudes in the bathroom with them. Women shouldn't have to share a locker room with men. They should not have to share a bathroom with men. It's disgusting, it's evil, it's wrong, and it should never happen. And you know what else? Women shouldn't graduate from the Citadel because it's an all-male institution, a revered all-male institution. And if you're going to be, Miss Thing, I'm feminist, and you're going to shatter that glass ceiling, woohoo, I broke up this all-boys club, then I don't have a lot of sympathy when the tranny wants to pee in the toilet next to you. Oh, did you shatter one glass ceiling? And then, oh, look at that. You looked up and there's another one right there. And the trannies went motoring right through that one. And now it turns out the revolution didn't stop when you got what you wanted. It turns out the revolution itself, the altering of our social order, the breaking of norms, the shattering of walls. It turned out the revolution has momentum and it doesn't stop. As soon as you get what you want, there's another glass ceiling and another glass ceiling. And if you're not too careful, Nancy, soon the glass comes raining down on you. You feminists, you better learn. You are the author of so much of this insanity. You wanted to shatter this glass ceiling and break up this boys' club, and I can do anything a man can do, and I'm the first woman to graduate from the Citadel. Woo! I'm a woman. Look at me roar! What's this? A tranny's trying to use my restroom? What does he think he's doing trying to break this glass ceiling? You paved the road, Nancy. Don't blame the he-she for driving down the road you paved. It doesn't work that way. you revolutionaries, and this goes to every one of you dirty commies who hate listens, because you all have your dirty commie cause for whatever it is. I know in your sick, twisted little brain, you've convinced yourself that once you get that, then that'll be enough and everything will stop and it'll work out and we'll put the brakes on. But that's the thing, you see. It doesn't stop. And if you choose to give it gas, thinking you can master that power and get it, use it for your needs, might have a tranny in your bathroom one day. But hey, congrats on that graduation from the Citadel. Anyway, do some emails and voicemails before we do those. Let's talk about Pure Talk. Let's talk about the holiday season, Christmas season, and putting your money where your morals are. Right now, the corporate world is just as involved as they've ever been in all this garbage. You don't have to pay them for it. You don't have to pay them to dump on your culture, to dump on your society. In fact, you have options. When it comes to your cell phone, you have endless options. Ah, I want to get my wife or my kid a new phone for Christmas. I want to get my husband something nice. How about a brand new iPhone from Pure Talk? Brand new Android. You realize I pay half of what I used to pay at T-Mobile? Half. With the patriotic cell phone company that doesn't take my money and use it against my values? Switch. Go find out what they can do for you. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Switch to Pure Talk. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Love, hate, death threats. Ask Dr. Jesse questions for Friday. You can also leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373. Here's one.
Jesse Kelly, this is Danny from Georgia. I would just like to call and say thank you from the bottom of my heart for sitting up there and telling the unbridled, uncomfortable truth, period. That's all there is to it. Keep up the good work, man. The more people you piss off, the better job you're doing. Thank you so much for not being bridled by political correctness and by fear. The truth is the only thing that will get us out of this mess. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
I'll tell you what. I'll pair that voicemail with this. I'll pair that with Jesse. Have you noticed the change since the election? It's not just athletes and stars, but common people I see and talk to. Many people were afraid to voice their opinions because of the left attacking them. Like you said, if a few conservatives come out, others will feel emboldened. Keep up the great work. Well, listen, I appreciate the voicemail thanking me and stuff like that, but it really is us. It really genuinely is us, because yes, I feel it too. I feel it in my personal life with the people I know. I see it all over sports, movies, stars. It's very clear that the left's hold on our culture is cracking. I don't want to say it's broken. I don't want to say we've won. I don't want to say any of those other crazy things, because that's not true. And we have a long way to go. But they did have this society in this clinch where you couldn't question the vaccine in polite society and stay in polite society. You couldn't question the George Floyd narrative, the Hunter Biden laptop stuff, the whatever it may be. You could not question it. And normal people would not question it because they didn't want to be yelled at. They didn't want to be harassed. Even if they disagreed, they stayed quiet. But you got bolder. You got bolder. All of us did. Yeah, and thank you for the thanks, but you deserve it too. I remember during COVID how much I was screaming about this. I probably said this 100 times on the radio, that courage and cowardice are both contagious. It doesn't feel that way. When you're in a bad situation, let's say you're on the Titanic and the ship's going down and everyone's running around screaming, ah, we're all gonna die, oh my God, someone save Leonardo DiCaprio, and everyone's freaking out on the boat. If you're in that situation, it doesn't feel like you standing up, standing strong, remaining calm, taking a position of leadership. It doesn't feel like you, the lone person, can make a big difference. There's 1,000 people freaking out. I can't do anything, but it can make all the difference. You look at one person who steps up and says, no, calm down. You form a line here. You get to this lifeboat. You go over there. You go over here. And you'll soon see. Now the next guy sees that. Yes, that's how we do it. And then the next guy sees it. And soon, instead of 1,000 people running around with their chickens with their heads cut off, there's 500 normal people keeping calm, making sure everything's being done right. Courage is contagious. And the same thing with cowardice. It's what I was beating my head against the desk for over and over and over again during the Floyd stuff and the COVID stuff. Everyone was too scared to say obvious truths. Everybody. And it drove me nuts. And you saw, honestly, the Republican weakness, it drove me insane. Because so many people knew this was wrong and didn't say anything. I saw somebody, I forget her name, she was a journalist. She had said something a couple days ago to this effect. She said, I'm genuinely surprised at how many people thought all the tranny surgery stuff was evil and wrong and just never said anything about it. I'm not surprised at all. People get afraid. They get afraid about understandable things. I don't want to lose my job. I don't want my kid to be picked on in school. I don't want some crazy commie to hurt me. You know, understandable fears. And people have fears about things that go beyond tangible things too. Hey, I don't want my neighbors to think I'm a bigot. I don't want my coworkers to think that I'm a bad person. I don't want my sister to hate me. And so people will refrain from telling even brutally, painfully obvious truths because they're afraid. And the problem with that is cowardice is contagious too. If you're too afraid, you know what's right, you know what's true, but you won't say it. Then the buddy next to you won't say it either. And the guy next to him and the lady next to him and the kid next to him. And the cowardice is contagious. It may be more contagious than courage. Didn't you know that? You know, in ancient warfare, when it was all swords and spears and shields and things like that, the thing that commanders feared the most was the first unit that routed. The first unit that said, I'm gone, I can't. Because they knew if even one unit does, it can spread like wildfire and they'll all rout. But if someone's standing strong in the vanguard, courage is contagious too. So it's way more than just me. I appreciate that, but it's way more than just me. We are all getting bolder. And yes, I feel it. And yes, it's a good thing. And this is why when we see a lack of courage, you and me, we have to whip these people. We do. We have to pull out the whip, and we don't like doing that. So I'm going to explain exactly what I mean. This is going to apply to Mike Johnson. I'm going to explain exactly what I mean in just a moment. Before I do that, let me talk to you about real estate. Go check the books of the big finance companies, the states. Go look what they're putting their money in now. They're putting their money in hard assets. Even with the election of Trump, the debt is there, the inflation is there. We are seeing sign after sign after sign that we might be heading into a severe recession right now. Hard assets, done for you real estate. They will get you set up. They will walk you through everything. They'll find you the property. They handle the closing. They handle the rental process. You, normal person, will begin acquiring rental properties. Consistent, tax-free income. You can retire on done for you real estate. Many have. Go find out what they can do at doneforyoujesse.com. That's doneforyoujesse.com. Let's talk about whipping politicians next.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday night. All right, we're going to talk about whipping our politicians here in just a moment and why we have to. Thank you, Chris, for bringing us back with the Whip It song. I am proud of you. Very, very proud of you. Anyway, before we get to whipping our politicians, I want to give a shout out to the great WOAI of San Antonio. The world famous Jesse Kelly show is now live on WOAI San Antonio. And that is, of course, a legendary station and very honored to be there live. Thrilled, honored. Thank you. Appreciate you very much. San Antonio still has breakfast tacos that will always live in my heart. Always, always. I did a, Chris, I lived there for a while. Remember I told you I lived in San Antonio for a while. I was doing construction. What, Chris? What? Am I limiting it to breakfast tacos? No, no. San Antonio's more than just breakfast tacos. I've had some good pizza there. I've had other things, but I want to, can we stay focused, Chris, please? So I was doing construction. In fact, you could argue in a way, this may have been the start of my radio career. You want to hear a San Antonio story? Hear about this? Listen to this, WOAI. So I was doing construction down in San Antonio. When we were doing construction, you have to go where the work is. So you're all over the country. And that was back when I fell in love with Texas. And I had a wife, two young kids. So it was a hard time, right? We didn't have any money. We were living out of hotels. But we were in San Antonio for a while. And when I was at work, if the wife would have to be taking the kids down to the Riverwalk and different things like that. But I found this little Mexican restaurant. I don't even know if it's still there. There were two of them at the time. For all I know, there's probably 10 of them by now. I don't know. I haven't been back to this place in a while. It was called Nichas. Nichas? N-I-C-H-A-S. Chris, it's Mexican. You wouldn't understand. It's Mexican. Anyway, I'll break it down for you later.
Buenas tardes.
But at Nichas, they have breakfast tacos. Now, I know if you're from Texas, you know breakfast tacos are the norm. For everyone in other places, understand that I know you know what a breakfast taco is. I'm not going to insult your intelligence, but you need to understand how big they are in Texas. Everywhere has them, and I mean everywhere. Every gas station, they're not hard to come by. But they're not all equal. And there are two things. There are two things that decide the greatness of a breakfast taco. And they're not the two things you'd think. Because eggs are eggs, right? As long as they're not powdered, they're scrambled eggs. I personally get mine with chorizo. That's Mexican for chorizo, Chris. Get mine with chorizo and queso. That's Mexican for cheese, Chris. I get mine with chorizo and cheese and eggs. So those are pretty standard. Chorizo is going to taste fairly, it's pretty much the same. The beauty of the breakfast taco is in the tortilla and the green salsa. Salsa verde, if you will, if we have to go native. Salsa verde. Nietzsche's had, I don't even know if this place still exists. It does, Chris? Oh, wow, we're about to blow up their sales. They had the greatest tortillas I've ever had in a breakfast taco. Kind of a little thicker. I don't mind it thick. You know, I was in the Marines. It was a little bit thicker and a little bit doughier. So the breakfast taco tortillas can get crusty, a little thicker, almost like a gordita, if you will. Almost like a gordita. That's the kind of tortillas they had. And their green salsa. It was so full of flavor, and it was so hot. Now, I like heat. Jewish producer Chris likes heat a lot. He's just like me. But I'm telling you right now, Chris, you didn't think I'm lying to you? These things would make you sweat. That's how hot the green salsa is. Nobody, it's me. I'm telling you right now, it would make me sweat. It's so delicious that you can't help but dump it on you have to dump the whole thing in there, but you really shouldn't because your insides are angry with you for the rest of the day. It's just torching hot and so freaking good. Anyway, I don't know exactly why I got off talking about this before, but anyway, WOAI, I'll be over to eat some breakfast tacos shortly. Love you. Appreciate you very much. Now let's talk about whipping our politicians, because maybe you have a wussy politician who won't eat hot green salsa, or more specifically, you very likely are not led by leaders. Let me explain. We don't like to think of our politicians as leaders because they're supposed to be servants of the people and things like that, but they are leaders. It's a leadership position. When you send a representative to Congress, yes, he's a servant of the people. I got that. But He is there. He is a face. He is a voice. He is a platform. You expect, I expect these people to lead us. But there's a problem with that. You see, we can only take what the political world gives us. And the political world often doesn't give us men, real men, leaders. And there are a lot of reasons for this. Maybe it's a more narcissistic type that gets into politics. I have argued for the longest time politics, you know how Rush used to say, he was very accurate with this, that politics is Hollywood for ugly people? I may amend that a little, not that I'm adjusting anything that the great Rush said, but for dudes, I'm only making this about dudes, I don't want to speak for women, but for dudes, you know, dude, what does a dude want? What does a man want? Very, very male wants and needs. A man wants what? He wants to achieve success. He wants to be admired. He wants women to like him. These are male things, and there's nothing wrong with this. These are very male things. Well, if you grow up as a complete dork, and maybe you are a complete dork. I had my dork phase. Maybe you grow up as a dork. Well, the women aren't throwing themselves at the dorks, you know, and you don't have any success. Maybe politics is a way you can get that. And a lot of these guys are just dorks. They're lifelong dorks. It's not like we send a bunch of leaders, real men, to Congress. The people we get there are losers and dorks, and they're weaklings. And we're asking a weakling we sent to Congress, we're asking him to be a leader. But most people, the vast majority of people in politics are followers, not leaders. They will lick their finger, they will stick it in the air, they will see which way the wind is blowing, and that's what they will do. A great, bright, shining example of this is Mike Johnson, the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, where he had a fairly conservative, very right-wing voting record until he got to be Speaker of the House, and then what happened? People keep asking, what happened? What happened? Well, pressure happened. Mike Johnson's weak. I believe he's probably a very good man, but he's weak. He's effeminate. He can't handle the pressure. And so he's caved on every significant thing. And yesterday in the morning, I played it a couple times, he was asked about that new tranny in Congress in the bathroom thing, and this is how he sounded.
Mr. Speaker, is freshman-elect Sarah McBride a man or a woman?
Look, I'm not going to get into this. We welcome all new members with open arms who are duly elected representatives of the people. I believe it's a command that we treat all persons with dignity and respect, and we will. And I'm not going to engage in silly debates about this.
That was yesterday morning. Mike Johnson, after dropping those comments on camera yesterday morning, got completely destroyed by you, by me. I called him low-T GOP. It was way beyond me. You did it too. If you were on social media, you did it. It was loud, the opposition to that kind of mealy-mouthed, pathetic weakness. We essentially all raised up in unison and shouted at Mike Johnson.
Why are you gay?
Mike Johnson, I think it was 3.5 hours later, after that whipping, stepped up and said this.
Hello, everybody. I just want to make a statement for all of you here and be very clear. I was asked a question this morning at the leadership gaggle, and I rejected the premise because the answer is so obvious. For anybody who doesn't know my well-established record on this issue, let me be unequivocally clear. A man is a man, and a woman is a woman, and a man cannot become a woman. That said, I also believe...
What happened? Did Mike Johnson just inhale? Was he snorting chalk behind the scenes? No. You whipped him. Because he's a follower, you had to be his strength. I wish it wasn't this way. I wish we didn't have to whip him into doing what's right. But that's why we whip him. And that's why you don't fall in love with him. And that's why I don't care when you yell at me when I'm mad at your favorite one. Because I get mad at your favorite one all the time. It doesn't matter who that is. I don't care who we're talking about. That's why I whip him. Because that's the only way to get these freaking people to do what you want is whip him. You worship them, they'll never do what you want. You got to whip them, all right? Let's talk about the IFCJ before we do some emails. Maybe some voicemails. Maybe some other fun stuff. Let's talk about protecting people. Some people live in war zones and some do not. We have been grateful. We've been lucky in this country. Unless you live in the south side of Chicago, you don't live in a war zone. The people of Israel do every single freaking day. Every day. And I just couldn't imagine what it would be like to be picking up my sons from school and find out rockets are raining down and we have to scramble to the bomb shelter. But I know in that moment I would be really grateful that IFCJ built the bomb shelter. That's the kind of thing they do. They provide a bridge. They provide help, food, flak jackets, bomb shelters, firefighting equipment from people who desperately need it. Help them if you can. Go to supportifcj.org. Supportifcj.org. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Do not forget, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, or you can leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373. Chris, I'm still curious. You never did answer. Why would you ask a question like that? Are you watching more organized crime stuff? For those who don't know, Jewish producer Chris oftentimes doesn't do his job. He watches videos, and he and Corey sit in there and screw off when we're trying to do the show. And he asked me, right as we're coming back from the break, if I knew anything about cutting cocaine. Why would I know anything about cutting cocaine, Chris? And why would you assume that I would know something about cutting cocaine? Do I look like a cocaine guy? But we don't have to talk about anything I've done in the past, Chris. We're talking about the present, okay? You see these two pinky nails? Do you see any long ones there? All right? Did I drive up in a 1965 Cadillac? Do I have a mink coat on? I don't know anything about cocaine, Chris. I can tell you about ice makers if you'd like to talk about that. I know quite a bit about ice makers. I had mine fired up and running this morning. I've had to fight off revolt after revolt after revolt in the Kelly household because the ice maker does make quite a bit of noise at night, and it's not by my room. It's by everyone else's room. So getting pretty upset people were turning that off in the middle of the night. Anyway, let's go to some emails, shall we? Jesse, I love your show. I listen on 710 WOR via iHeartRadio. Shout out WOR, by the way. I, too, am an infantry veteran, though not Marines, but Army. I love your open support of our fellow vets. Appreciate your show because you don't talk like an academic to your audience. You speak to us over the radio like we're in the same room, person to person. His name is Rick. Whoa. Rick, how could I talk over anybody? I'm uneducated. The reason I don't talk over you is because I can't. I'm a normal person. We have a bunch of new listeners. You understand that I'm a normal person, right? I completely lucked into this job. I've been doing this for 6 years. Lucked into this job. I've had a normal life. I was born in Ohio to a construction family. That's not only what my dad did, that's what his dad did. We're just construction people, just Rust Belt, Ohio construction people. And then we moved to Montana and kept doing construction. And I grew up in a very normal house. We were so poor when we first moved to Montana. Did I ever tell you we lived in a ski cabin because we couldn't afford a house? We had to rent a ski cabin on the side of the mountain. Not even kidding. Not doing the back in my day thing. If the weather was bad, and let's be honest, it's on a ski cabin. A ski cabin's on a ski hill, so the weather's generally bad. You couldn't drive up to the house. You had to park down below the house, and I want to call it 100 feet up, but I'm looking at it from a kid's perspective. It could have been 500 feet. It could have been 50 feet, but we were well, well below the house. If you brought groceries or something home, we had to have sleds parked by where we parked the cars, and you had to load all your groceries into a sled like you go sledding, and we had to walk the groceries up the hill, towing the sleds behind us with the groceries. So, like I said, I've had your life. You know what I mean? I washed golf clubs. I worked construction. I joined the Marines. I've done all this. I'm not trying to talk to you or not over your head. I don't know any other way to talk. This is how I talk. I didn't graduate from college. I got a 0.0 my first semester, not to brag. But, yeah, that's I'm stupid. Jesse, Prince of Darkness, he says. Winning the election was like D-Day. A huge victory, but just the beginning. We are now in the hedgerow country. trying to push through appointments. That's exactly right. Election Day was a critical win, a must. We had to have it, and we got it, and that's awesome, and we should feel happy about it. We should not think that we can somehow back off now or that they will back off now. Look, I'll make this about actually the Russia-Ukraine thing really quickly. I've talked to you before about defense in depth, that if you think about it like World War I, how you'd have a trench line, and they realized one trench line doesn't do any good because what if they break through? What if they break into your trench line? Then you're finished. What you need is more trench lines behind it so you can retreat. You have a place to retreat to and regroup. You leave the first trench line, you regroup at the second one. Maybe that same attack force breaks against your second trench line and you end up winning. Defense in depth. That's the idea behind it. It's very simplistic presentation of it, but that's the idea behind it. What the system is doing right now is defense in depth. They didn't want to lose the first trench. They didn't want to lose the first line. The evil globalist communists who run the United States of America and most of the Western countries, they wanted Democrat rule forever because Democrats are filthy, evil communists now trying to burn down everything the way the globalists want. They didn't want to lose that election, but they did. But they did not rout. They did not retreat. They are not running for the hills. We didn't win. They left the first trench. And they are in the second trench, reforming, regrouping, rethinking, coming up with a new plan to stop whatever Donald Trump is doing. Stop the appointment. Stop all this. Think about this. We are in that period of time, that little sliver of time in between where we had the presidential election and before Donald Trump actually gets sworn in. This is a critically important period of time. And all we can do is sit and watch. And it's critically important because I want you to think about this time as if we just took the first trench and we're watching the enemy reform and regroup in the second trench and we're not allowed to go get him yet. All we can do now is sit and watch as they slam through judicial appointments, as they try to preemptively smear all the appointees, as they try to, they are making plans to resist in every way humanly possible. So our next fight will not be easier. Yes, we won an important victory. That was a good trench. The next fight will be the next trench. And speaking of defense in depth, let's discuss the Russia-Ukraine thing, which apparently continues to get worse. Before we do that, not everything's worse. Some things are better. Remember I bragged to you about that sick satchel I used to have? Crossbody. Don't want to brag. It was the ultimate fishing satchel. It was the ultimate jogging satchel. It's perfect. I keep my weapon in there. It's the ultimate satchel. And that it was not a fanny pack, Chris. It was crossbody. Anyway, and then I made the horrible mistake of letting one of my meathead sons use it one day. So, of course, it got broken immediately. They tried to stuff too much in it. It got broken. I've not been able to find another one. Found another one on GovX today. 30% off. 30% off. You want knives, shoes, you want a sick satchel, you need a knee sleeve, a jacket, you want to buy concert tickets, go on a cruise, go get massive discounts at govx.com. Current former military, current former first responder, current former educator, or a family member, you get a free membership. Take advantage. govx.com. Promo code Jesse gets you $15 off your first order. So don't miss out on free money. govx.com. Promo code Jesse. Now, let's chat.
This is an iHeart podcast.